The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. Welcome, Warriors. This is Warrior Saturday, my favorite day of the week, everybody. August 5th, 2023, on today's News Talk 24/7 Global TNT Radio. And I am Lynn Shaw, the Warrior. And today you are all my Warriors for the next hour and beyond. We are going to tell you what's happening around the world today with families and children, and also always everything happening right here in the United States regarding human slavery. Not human trafficking, everybody. A much more descriptive way to describe all of this horror is human slavery. And we are going to tell you what you can and must do about protecting yourselves and your kids online and in real time. We want all of you to be safe. We know we can do it. Power in numbers. We have to come together. You can no longer sit on the sidelines. I tell you this every single day. It's 2023 and we all can do something. Thank you for joining us. Let's settle in, listen up, get ready to take your weekly warrior notes. You know the drill. We have so much to cover. We're coming to you live from a very sunny, warm New York City. So let's rock and roll. I like to always say to you, you know, the program may be disturbing because it's all true. Yes, it's true. But one thing we strive to do with the Warriors, we report the facts. We report the truths, the realities. You have to know what is going on in order to effect change. And then we give you resources. We give you take actions because, again, we need all of you. What do I like to tell you all the time? Community creates change. And I want you to remember those three words. They're very important. We have to organize. We have to raise awareness. We have to educate each other, the public as a whole. This is the only way, because I do a lot of thinking about all of this, that I can see that we can make significant change. Building that base of advocates, and I like to call everybody warriors. So we're going to start today with some good news. Now, are you ready, everybody? Here's the good news. The movie Sound of Freedom, released in the United States on July 4th, our Independence Day, was just released globally a couple of days ago. So I'm urging everybody, because there is really no marketing on this. There are no, you don't see commercials, you don't see anything online. It is all word of mouth and everybody online sharing things. Go see it. They have a pay it forward program. Everybody, if you cannot afford a ticket, doesn't matter. Go to angelstudios.com, put in your name and your zip code, find out where the movie is playing near you. That applies for across the universe as well. Go to the website, find out how you can get that free ticket and go see the movie. And the good news is most of the tickets for Sound of Freedom have been sold. People want to know more. People want to support this film. People want to pay it forward. And I have to say, it is really doing very, very well. But of course, you would never know about this because mainstream media doesn't report on it, but we do at the Warriors. So go see it. It is having impact. Whether you like it, agree with it, don't agree with it. You know what? It's part of the culture right now. As long as we open up the conversation and start talking about this overwhelming, dark, ugly subject of child sex trafficking, we also have to remember, we don't talk enough about labor trafficking, forced servitude. We have forced child soldiers, mostly in other countries, not the United States, but I dare say that's coming here someday soon, but we're going to leave it at that. Sound of Freedom, everybody. It is open across the universe. Go see it and let's meet back here again and all discuss what's going on, what you think of that movie. Now, not that this is unexpected, Warriors, but now we're going to have some bad news. I am sitting here in the middle of New York City, my home state of New York, my city. It's been coming. I've been warning everybody. And it is here. New York has become a sex trade driven free for all. You know what? I warned you. I don't like to say I warned you, but about this subject matter, I warned you. Because New York Governor Kathy Hochul, she announced her pilot program a few days ago. She said, well, let me just put a little bit of money, $1 million. I don't call that a little bit of money for the sex workers productivity office. Let's have an office where we can brainstorm, strategize, and figure out how we can empower the sex workers. Now, This same office, I want to point out, used to be called, under different mayors in our city, the Human Trafficking Office. Then under that blob of a mayor, Bill de Blasio, that inept man, it became the Gender Equity Office, okay? Now, under this buffoon, Mayor Eric Adams, it has become the Sex Workers Productivity Office. We did a little digging around, everybody, and it wasn't public information, and we found out that the bulk of this $1 million is going into an organization that mainly deals with children. And in the wording for all of this, Governor Kathy Hochul of New York State, a mother, okay, a woman, uses the words sex workers when referring to children. Now, this is criminal. This is disgusting. Children cannot consent. Children are not sex workers. We don't use sex workers. Sex is not work. Work is not sex. She is criminal and complicit to this whole endorsing of prostitution. And, you know, just this week, so we had that one day, a couple of days ago, and fast forward 2 days later, Corona Queens. Now, you have to realize, if you're not familiar with New York, this is a big place, okay? Queens is another area right outside of New York City, and it is being overrun. We've had reports to the Warriors, I would say in the last 2 years, about open-air prostitution, meaning women are walking on the streets day and night, not hiding in the shadows, just approaching people openly, no shame about it. Men could be with their families. Men could be walking with their children. They don't care. They just go for it. And this is an area called Roosevelt Area, which is a main strip of shopping, the subway stops. And over a dozen brothels right now that we know about are in full swing day and night. And they don't care. The kids are watching this. Kids are asking a lot of questions to parents. Grandparents have had reports. They've been telling me different things. And the people don't know what to say. And they're also beyond that. So kids are asking questions, which opens up about you do have to have open and honest communication with your kids, right? Because these things are happening, age appropriate. But these brothels, these pimps, these traffickers are also getting kids, paying them a couple of bucks and getting them to hand out little cards. They look like business cards with a sexual image on them and a phone number on the back. And the kids are making $5 and $10, and this is happening. So parents, beware if your kids are coming up with some extra money, but this is criminal. And you know what? We can't do anything here in New York. Nobody's going to jail. We are swept with this DA, Alvin Bragg, who believes in this restorative justice. Our law enforcement hands are tied. They're saying, Lynn, we can't do anything. And the landlords who have rented these apartments, because you have to understand, during COVID, Roosevelt Avenue, stores on the bottom, and a lot of these buildings have apartments on top. Think of a city. And a lot of these apartments and storefronts went empty during COVID. So as people moved out. So, of course, landlords were desperate to rent out and make some money, and a lot of them are reporting to us that they rented out to seemingly good people, seemingly nice people, seemingly, at least this is what they're reporting. I, of course, always think, well, wherever there's money or cash to be had, they're going to go with it, these landlords, but that's another program. And a lot of women rented these apartments, and a lot of these landlords are saying, you know, these women, it seemed like my mother, my sister, didn't think much of it. Well, I guess they didn't dig deep enough, because right now that is the ploy being used in the sex trade, at least here in New York, that we know about. Think of Ghislaine Maxwell. She cozied up to girls. She was that sister figure. She was that mother figure. All starts out nicely. She takes an interest in a vulnerable girl or young woman. And then after a while, you know the process. It's called grooming, everybody. They slip right in there. And they start turning you into, you've got to do this for me. You've got to do it one time. And it goes on and on and on. So we have to think of now women in the sex trade, because it's easier for women to make these connections. It's easier for them to connect to our vulnerable women and girls. And just today in the New York Post, this is the headline. Video shows open air prostitution in yet another neighborhood as hookers stroll in broad daylight. Now, Warriors. This is East New York. This is along an area called Stanley Avenue near Sheffield Avenue. Again, an area where a lot of families walk along there, a lot of shopping, and also subway stops. I mean, however the images posted, I don't want to say I'm shocked because nothing really shocks me anymore, but women are walking around basically nude during the daytime and just walking up to cars and trucks and nobody's stopping them. And don't be fooled. I mean, we have this on very good authority, everybody. There is also the buying and selling of children, trafficking of our precious children. They may not be seen out in the open, but I will remind you, as disgusting and horrific as it is, the demand is for children. That is what we know here in New York State. The younger, the better. So these women will gladly, for a few bucks, bring you to a child. There are children, and this is so criminal. New York State, in the sex trade, we're hearing that everyone around the country is looking to New York State to see if they will fully decriminalize the sex trade. And if this goes through, other states will follow. And we've been fighting this for a very long time. Got a little derailed during the whole COVID period. It is back in full force. And our elected officials here, they are all in. I told you about our governor, a mother, a woman. She claims that making the sex trade safe is so much better off. It's empowerment. Selling your body is empowerment. And I ask you, warriors, I scream this. I urge everybody. I'm asking this constantly in meetings I'm part of. Why aren't we helping our vulnerable populations with all of these monies being spent? Can you imagine that $1 million to set up the sex workers' productivity office? What we could do, for instance, we could have a shelter, right? We could have education, medical, psychological resources that are needed for people in the sex trade. Because I have to remind you, it is not, you know, you just stop and get out of it. It is a lifelong trauma. It is a lifelong struggle. I work with a lot of people of all different ages. It is not something you get saved miraculously and it goes away. It is with you. We need monies for medical care. Again, psychological care, housing, education. We need companies in New York and around our country to step up and partner and develop programs to train people and then employ them so they don't go back into the sex trade where they can make money. If somebody only knows that and that is their way to make food money, they are easily going to slip back into that. So I am disgusted right now. I love our country. And I despise our government, that they are not stepping up and they are not helping people with all of this. This is disgusting. And you know, I've had a lot of people this week say to me, I've been doing a lot of speaking privately, different groups, and, oh, well, you know, that's in New York City, those big cities around the country. Let me tell you something. This is coming. I have news for all of you. This is coming to your town, your city, your rural area. You live on a farm? It's coming to you. This is the tip of the iceberg. You have to think culture shift. You have to think 2023, new environment we all live in. So what are we going to do about it? It's always with the warriors. What are we going to do? What can we do about it? First of all, I urge all of you, always go to the website, lynnswarriors.org for information, take actions, resources, read things, understand what's going on. You have a right, senate.gov, house.gov, write to your elected officials. We pay taxes. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. They keep logs. I know this for a fact. They have to address these things. Write to them. Most people I talk to, they don't even know who represents them. This is your duty now in 2023. But you know what? That's okay. Go to house.gov, senate.gov, put in your zip code. It will tell you who represents you. And then you can call. If you're shy, you can email. If you're a real warrior, you're going to do all of them. You're going to call the office. I don't care if you get a voice, you know, an answering machine, voicemail, whatever it's called these days. You're going to leave a message. The subject matter, we do not want full decriminalization of the sex trade. That's it. Just write it down. Email, same thing. Just do it. If you're really, really into it, and you should be, letter and you put a stamp on it and you actually go to a post office and mail it. You hit them from every side. And if we have about 8 to 10 people on the same subject in one office, then they start addressing. But I have to tell you, go to lynnswarriors.org under the take actions, because I have samples of what you would say in a phone call, what you would write in an email. It would only take a couple of minutes, and we need all of you to help us with all of this. And we have to urge everybody, we want education in our schools. We clearly see in front of us, it is rolling out where all of this is going. It's here. Yeah, it's not going. It is actually here. This full-on normalization of the sex trade. I guarantee you, and this is a horrible statement, I have to shock you, because I have to start making you aware. I can't come from this place anymore of, I don't want to scare anybody. I have to start scaring you. We are going to see children behind glass in storefronts in Times Square here in New York City. And we cannot allow this. You have to become a warrior. Listen up and listen good, because we are going to hear about the realities of prostitution. This full decrim coming up, and it is an honor. Rachel Moran will join us. She's the Director of International Policy and Advocacy at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation in Washington, D.C., and the author of Paid For, My Journey Through Prostitution. Rachel Moran, when we return to Lynn's Warriors on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Kate Shimarani.
That Indian Free Trade Agreement, the IFTA, based on Indian-UK Track 2 dialogue going on for years between the Foreign Office and India under the mask of climate change. They say that it's climate change, but they're discussing defence, health, vax programmes, and we're bringing the UK patent law allowing evergreening. It means that they can carry on the patent of a drug. Once the patent's up, anybody can make that drug then and get a patent on it. And normally, if there's no improvement in India, they wouldn't allow, but that evergreening means even with no improvement of the drug, they can get another generic drug made just like it. I just want to tell you, there's no cure in a drug. There's no drug out there with an LD0. What's LD? Lethal dose. If a drug is LD50, they say it's really dangerous. It'll kill 50 out of 100 people they treat with it. But if a drug is LD15 and it kills 15 out of every 100, that's okay, because your body is the cash cow.
Kate Shimarani on TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. There is a war on for your children. Children are under attack at every level and on every front, from the government, big tech, education, medical, Hollywood, and society. This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Warriors, it is such an honor to welcome Rachel Moran to our program today. There is never enough discussion, in my opinion, about the realities of prostitution and the harms caused. Rachel is the Director of International Policy and Advocacy at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation in Washington, D.C. We call them, everybody, NCOSE, that's N-C-O-S-E, the leading national nonpartisan organization exposing the links between all forms of sexual exploitation, such as child sexual abuse, prostitution, sex trafficking, and the public health harms of pornography. Rachel is also the author of Paid For, My Journey Through Prostitution, considered one of the best and most thorough books about the sex trade. I recommend everyone to read, go and buy it. Not now. Wait until the end of our interview. Understand what prostitution really is. Know the realities and harms of what many in society today are trying to tell us. It's okay. It's empowering to sell your body, and it's not. You can follow Rachel Moran and her great work at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation at endsexualexploitation.org, and also on Twitter at NCOSE, that's N-C-O-S-E, but also her Twitter account at Rachel Moran. Welcome, Rachel, to the Warriors.
Lynn, thank you so much for having me on. I really do appreciate it.
Rachel, I am completely honored because you have been such a warrior and you have been so brave and you are out there sharing the realities of what is going on. We have a lot to discuss. I want to jump right in and give you the floor. Tell us, who is Rachel Moran?
I was drawn into this public conversation when I made my own contribution to it back in the spring of 2011. That was the first time I spoke out publicly about prostitution. And I began blogging the following year. I started a blog called theprostitutionexperience.com. And then the following year after that, in 2013, in the springtime, my memoir was released here in Ireland, and then it went on to be released around the world, including in the United States. So I think the reason why it caught so much attention, Lynn, was because I was just bald honest. You know, there were no, there was no attempt to present the experience as anything but what it was. And I think that we've been drowning in a sea of lies for so long on this issue, all the way back to Pretty Woman and far beyond, that it was surprising to people to actually read an account that didn't pull any of those stumps.
And Rachel, that is exactly what we need. We need the realities of what is happening. You know, I can talk tall and blue in the face, but I've never been in, luckily, you know, this sex trade. You put your story out there as a teen. Do you want to share some of that leading up to how you just explained everything that, you know, writing the book and getting out there and speaking about it? But again, I want you to talk about whatever you want to talk about yourself. But share whatever you want about your teen experience.
I really prefer like conversational style interviews where we just bounce ideas around and see what we come up with. For me, and for the benefit of your listeners, I need to say that I got involved in the sex trade in the way that almost all young women and girls do. And that is from a position of lack, not just economic lack, but multiple different kinds of lack layered on top of each other. I had been made homeless. I had just turned 14. And a few months on the heels of a parental suicide, I was made homeless. And so that put me in a very, very vulnerable situation. You know, my mother was seriously mentally ill with paranoid schizophrenia. She had been for many years. My dad, who had just died, had been suffering from bipolar. So that's what I mean when I'm talking about lacks laid on top of each other. We had mental illness, we had poverty. You know, there was a really deep depth of untreated depression in both my parents. So there was a very great degree of dysfunction. And then you put homelessness on top of that. And this is the thing that makes me, one of the many things really that makes me very angry about prostitution, and especially those who would like to try to sugarcoat it and varnish it and present it as something other than what it is that the reality for women and girls worldwide, including boys and some men, of course, in prostitution, is that they come to the sex trade from a position of vulnerability, usually multiple vulnerabilities. This trade is basically, could be thought of as cannibalistic in that it feeds off the pre-existing vulnerabilities of people, including at the community level. So if you look around, and I have traveled across more than 20 countries now and met many, many people in many places, multiple different cities within a lot of those nations. And I have seen a clear and distinct pattern, Lynn, and it's vulnerability everywhere you look. And that's what the sex trade feeds off.
First of all, Rachel, thank you for sharing your personal story. And I, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I am very sorry about everything you've been through, you know, starting as a teen, as a child, to have to go through all of this. And I truly am honored that you're sharing this on The Warriors with us today. You know, I don't understand, you know, I'm here in New York City. So New York State, Rachel, they're pushing so hard for this full decrim right now. I don't know if you heard me talking earlier. They're putting monies into groups for children and calling them sex workers. Our own New York governor, and she's a woman and she's a mother. They are pushing so hard. They're telling very vulnerable girls, you know, let's face it, as you pointed out, it's mostly vulnerable, vulnerable girls, vulnerable young women, boys and men too. They're pushing them right into this. I want you to explain how harmful this is. Again, you just said you traveled, you know, about 20 different countries. You have worked on the equality model or Nordic model, we can call it. Explain why we cannot have the full decriminalization of the sex trade. We need to have more of the Nordic model, equality model.
Well, first of all, Lynn, something that I've had to come to terms with and get to grips with, and it's something of a relief when you really do come to a point where you have to accept this. There are a lot of people out there who are what I would call, if I wanted to be unkind, well-intentioned idiots, right? So there's a lot of people who truly believe, for whatever fantastical reason, that if we decriminalize sex work, as they would term it, not a term I'd ever use except to explain why it shouldn't be used, but yeah, they really do believe that it will bring some kind of order or regulation or harm reduction culture into the sex trade. That's nonsense, and it's been proved to be nonsense everywhere this sorry experiment has ever been tried, including your own Nevada in the United States. What people don't seem to understand is that when you decriminalize, and this is very mind-blowing to me, by the way, that people would struggle to understand this, but when you decriminalize every pimp in a land and you tell every man in the same land, to go ahead and go for it, there's the green light on, you can use any woman you find in any brothel anywhere perfectly legally. You remove all penalties, all legal penalties from all of the third party exploiters. That's the drivers, the doormen, the brothel keepers, etc. What you've created then is a Wild West free for all. We see it here in multiple nations in Europe, most notably Germany. Germany has actually outstripped Holland now, if you can believe that. You have an industrial scale prostitution in Germany that's horrifying beyond belief. I went to Munich years ago, as far back as 2014, and looked at the signs in the streets, a woman, a beer and a blood sausage sold together in packaged lunchtime deals. Between 1 and 2 o'clock when men are out on their lunch break. This is how dehumanizing prostitution becomes in an environment like that. And of course, it's completely dehumanizing to begin with. But it lowers the bar even more so, if you can imagine, because now you're at the stage where women are being sold as if they were physical commodities alongside foodstuffs.
It is so horrific, Rachel. I mean, we don't talk about, and all the coalition we do work with the Warriors, and we don't ever talk about like working on too much, ending demand, as you pointed out, you know, drivers, doormen, the sex buyers. What are you finding? Like, why is that? Because if we could get in there, we know everything's escalating. You point out Germany. I'm told they have buildings that are 10, 12 stories high, just floors and floors of vulnerable women in these places where people are going in, the men are going in. They want this now, at least here where I am in New York. And I don't understand how they can't see the harm in all of this. But talk to us about ending demand. What is everybody working on? Because I have to tell you, let me be honest, Rachel, there's so many people working on human trafficking, sexual exploitation, but I find very little bit, this is my opinion, is trickling down to that like actual victim, that survivor. And I don't see anybody trying to stop the demand, really. What are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, the Coalition Against Trafficking in Women, which is based in New York City, has had a very hard line on demand for a long time. But I do agree with you, Lynn, in that the majority of organizations that are funded for anti-trafficking work simply put their focus on women who have been trafficked in the to the letter of the law and don't spend nearly enough time, energy, funding, etc., on tackling the demand that creates the whole entire problem. People said, somebody said to me recently, you know, that they felt that the traffickers deserved the lion's share of the blame. Well, no, they don't. And I said very directly, no, they don't. Because what they're doing is accommodating of a demand. And if that demand were not there, the pimps would have to go off and find something else to do with themselves. The real kernel of the problem here is the male demand to sexually access the bodies of young women, and in many cases, children, boys and girls alike. And that's the crux and the root of your problem. And that's where you need to put your energies. And I'm very disappointed with a movement that I have seen for many years now conceptualize this issue as if we could just unchain everybody who is physically restrained and locked in a room and held against their will. And I know women who've had that experience, and I'm not diminishing it, Lynn. But what I'm saying is that the far larger problem is women who have been coerced through the most brutal of life circumstances into an area of life that is tolerated when it shouldn't be tolerated. It shouldn't be tolerated at all.
You know, Rachel, I read every study. I've read your book. I read everything. We also work at the Warriors with Coalition Against Trafficking in Women here in New York. You know, I hear things upwards, you know, anywhere from 91 to 97% of women in the sex trade are forced into it, are coerced. And that is a definition of human trafficking. Is this correct information?
Well, it is, but you have to understand what that means culturally, because it shifts from place to place. You know, I think that we're putting our energies in the wrong directions when we look only through the trafficking lens. I mean, before we ever came up with the term trafficking or the despicable term sex work, this was known by its name, which was prostitution. And I think that I have always said that I'll never take my focus and attention away from prostitution, because that's the problem here. You know, if the street that I ended up on in Dublin in the early 90s had not been socially tolerated, had there been no street for me to be able to walk down, I never would have had my experience. But that was tacitly ignored by the police, by the social services, by the public at large. And it was accepted as a part of life, because there is something within most peoples of the earth, where they just simply accept that prostitution has been with us for so long that it is culturally normal. You know, and there are various, from region to region, there's various different attitudes about it, few of them positive. But it's tolerated. And that's where the problem is. You know, we shouldn't be tolerating the intolerable.
Yeah. Warriors, we're talking with Rachel Moran, author of Paid For, My Journey Through Prostitution. Well, Rachel, we've had some good news recently with the state of Maine. Would you like to explain that to everybody?
Oh, I was just jumping up and down when I heard about Maine.
Me too.
So Maine... Yeah, it's the first state in the United States that's passed a law that's abolitionist model, I would say, in nature. You could call it, I think, the equality model is the most common term it's known by in the United States, the Nordic model or the abolitionist model in Europe. They're different names for the same thing, which is putting the focus where it belongs, which is on the pimps and on the demand from men who pay to buy their way inside the bodies of women and children. And this is absolutely huge. I really do hope we're in a situation now for America where the first domino has fallen.
You know, Rachel, I couldn't believe it, because here working in New York, we were hoping New York would be the the first state. But of course, here in Maine, we were just so happy and with the whole thing. I know the National Center on Sexual Exploitation was a part of that and working on all of that. That area of Maine, the New England coast, those states, Rachel, are considered very, you know, sexually open, liberal, promoting this sex work. Again, their term, not mine. And so it was really a pleasant surprise that this happened. And we do hope we have to have this snowball and just start picking up in every other state. You know, I wanted to ask you, what do you think right now? Explain some of the differences. I see things just in the last 2-3 years heating up as far as all of this sexualization and more normalization, and people just habituated to all of this and not paying attention. But what do you think is some of the biggest changes that you've seen? Do you think it's the internet being part of promoting all of this and making it sort of just acceptable? What do you think is pushing all this with just regular, you know, people?
Well, I have to say, and as a lifelong leftist, it pains me to say that this is coming from the left. You know, it just is. And it's massively driven by the new technologies that have been developed in recent decades, the internet, and of course, in particular, social media. You have young women now in journalism, for example, in fairly highbrow publications across the Western world, your nation and mine and far beyond, who really think that there's some kind of cachet to be associated with prostitution or sex work, as they would see it. One thing that makes me incredibly angry is when I read these kind of articles, they are almost exclusively from middle and upper middle class women, well-educated, well-remunerated, and they have no idea what it is that they're promoting. Now, if that was the case, and we as a movement, the sex trade survivors movement, and we're all across the world now, if that was the case, then they would at least then listen to us when we complained en masse, as we so often do in the face of these kind of articles. That would be one thing, but it isn't. That's not what's happening. What happens is that they ignore us. If they don't ignore us, they call us liars. Outright, I've been called a liar and a fantasist many, many times. You know, if they are not calling us liars and fraudsters, they will tell us that our experience is not reflective, that experience belongs to each of us alone and can't be used to extrapolate out across the sex trade, even though we have been knee deep in those harms. And many of us in our movement work in frontline sex trade provision. Many of us deal with women who are actively still in the sex trade or attempting to get out of it every single day. So we know exactly what we're talking about as a movement. And I'm very glad to be, after 11 years, 12 years in around in the sex trade survivors wing of the movement, I'm very glad to have switched over to NCOSY and to step into a new phase of my activism and to be able to try to really get a grip on this in new and innovative ways, because we really can't accept the status quo, Lynn, never mind allow it to devolve into the dangerous, degenerate mess that many people are pushing for.
And you know, Rachel, people say to me every day, why? Why is this escalating? Why is this happening? Because I have to say, Rachel, I mean, I speak about this almost 24 hours a day, all day long, to educate people. These people, as you pointed out, these women, these whatever, they are bullies. All they have going for them is shouting down their own agendas when we present them with the facts, as you're clearly laying out here, as we lay out. They don't want to hear it. They don't care. I keep thinking about those vulnerable teen girls here in New York that, you know, even try to do things on their own, Rachel, but there's always a pimp, a trafficker behind the scenes that'll come and beat them up and say, no, you know, you work for me. Though that population, we don't ever really hear too much about. We just hear about those women that you pointed out. We do have a lot of legislation, it seems, pending right now. And I want to point out it's bipartisan. It belongs to no political party. These are human rights abuses. Tell us a little bit about what you do at NICOSI, your position, and what legislation is pending that you want to speak about.
Well, I'm very new still in NICOSI, and I'm in the business now of building out the framework of how we're going to be operating in the years to come. And it's very exciting to take on that new challenge and new role. What I can tell you from the international perspective, because of course most of my work is outside of the United States, is that this is not only the global issue that we know it is, but it's also a very, very topical conversation in many, many places at the same time. And I find that a really interesting thing. The South African Parliament stalled its bill to decriminalise just a couple of months ago. They were in a similar position to the one you're describing in New York now. But senior political figures stepped in and said, hey, wait, we need to press pause on this for a minute because what we're hearing is truly disturbing. So we need to return and review next year. And we were so enormously glad that we were able as a movement to buy ourselves that amount of time in South Africa. Because, you know, you look at a nation like South Africa, it has a very recent painful history. Apartheid was only done away with in the first half of the 90s. You have practical problems right now in South Africa. Power outages have become a regular part of daily life. This is impacting on various other areas of infrastructure and, of course, on commerce. If that nation were to fully decriminalize its sex trade, it would devolve into a hellscape very, very rapidly. And it would also act, if you can imagine, like a sponge, drawing the most vulnerable girls from across other regions of Africa towards itself. Pimping and trafficking would go into absolute overdrive. So what we do oftentimes is we're trying to help put out fires, and we're also trying to map out, help working with people local on the ground, help them to map out ways forward. And one of the things that we're very clear about are exit strategies, because women need the tools to be able to rebuild their lives. And the tools that each woman will need are individual to her. So it's not a one size fits all situation. There has to be a real sincere commitment on the part of the policymakers in each nation to helping women do that. Like, people have got to be putting their money where their mouth is, Lynn, because if a woman is desperate, and particularly if a mother is desperate, she will do anything that she needs to do to make sure she can care for those kids.
And you know, Rachel, that is the one thing I don't think people understand. When people say to me, oh, why didn't she run away? What, running where? Especially if they have a child, they have to feed that child or try to keep a roof over that child's head. It's very much, and I don't have to tell you this, you know, a whole psychological type of thing going on. You know, Rachel, I'm very concerned. We have the advent right here of this AI, this artificial intelligence. Can you share anything about that? What are you hearing? Because I'm very scared about this, Rachel, and I'm not a scared person. What this will do with this whole, sex environment and this online environment?
Well, in all honesty, I would be grasping at straws if I were to try to answer that question honestly, because I think that that's actually beyond our understanding right now. I think that this could spread out in all sorts of directions that we hadn't even conceived of. I mean, if we look at the harm, the ever-increasing harm that has persisted over the last 30 years or so since the internet has become a very common feature of the ordinary Western home, and look at how that has spilled out into areas that go far beyond the sex trade. I think that the sex trade has actually proliferated throughout various industries now. I mean, you and I, I'm sure, are both old enough to remember the days when MTV would ban a Madonna video if she was dressed, or presenting right. herself in a way that was considered, you know, unnecessarily lewd. And I mean, God be with the days, is all I can say.
Right.
You turn on MTV now or any one of its equivalents, and you may as well be watching softcore porn, because that's what that would have been taken to be 30 years ago. So that's what I mean when I say we're devolving through the other IT systems that we have at such an alarming rate. It's only been a couple of generations. Where could AI take us? God only knows.
Yeah, I just keep asking everybody, because I like to, you know, get their thoughts, because it's just a big question mark. Even with the so-called tech experts, they're like, it's still a big question mark. And the other thing we have to work on, another program, Rachel, but like empowering, I'm working hard on empowering our young girls, our young women, because here in New York City, they might as well walk around nude, because that's what I'm seeing, Rachel. They walk around, I'm telling you, practically nude. They have no shame. So where is their self-worth? Where is their confidence? Why are they doing this? I can only imagine it's because everybody else is doing it. They're seeing it on the internet and it's acceptable. And as you pointed out, just a few decades ago, we had Madonna. I mean, they sold her book, if you remember. They put a brown wrapper over it. They didn't want her on the cover, you know, nude or something like that. Where do you see all this going in the next few years, Rachel?
I think it's something that we absolutely have got to, each one of us, take a level of personal responsibility for. And that's why I was so appreciative when I heard your opening comments before I came on. And you were advising people to contact our local politicians and parliamentarians. And that's exactly what we all need to do, because our politicians, no matter what region of the world we're in, are not going to focus on anything unless they believe that the people who are giving them their vote care about it. And we have to let the political world know that we care about this issue. Otherwise, it will keep on devolving until... Yeah, we've just got a cesspit all around us, and people might think that that's kind of hyperbole views. Well, no. If you look at New Zealand, for example, it's perfectly legal now to open what's called a SOOB, a sex work owner operated brothel, in any apartment building, any house in the state. You're breaking no laws, you know. If somebody moves in next door to you and opens up a brothel, you can't call the police about that. They're breaking no laws. You know, they may as well. I mean, they would probably be breaking laws if they were selling candy out of their house, but they're not breaking laws if they open a brothel. And now for that reason, it's very, very difficult to get a sense of how many of these SOOBs are there in the nation. There's no register. They're not keeping track of numbers. New Zealand is busy now in the process of looking at new suggested legislation that's been campaigned for, that would allow women in New Zealand on temporary work visas to be involved in prostitution. That is a sex trafficker's perfect playground. A lot of the women are coming from the nearby Asian nations and the Pacific Islands. You know, they're coming from places like Vietnam. And it's absolute insanity. And it's getting ready to spill out into something incredibly ugly. And I'd like your listeners to understand that that same pattern has played out, as I said earlier, absolutely everywhere. In Germany, the sex trade exploded. There's no documenting the amount of women in Germany who are in the sex trade, but we do know it runs to the hundreds of thousands. That's in a nation of 80 million people. So you can see the significant percentage of the population that we're talking about. You have young women from the former Soviet bloc countries, impoverished nations all around Eastern Europe, who are flooding into the German sex trade. These are girls 16, 17, 18 years of age. So this same pattern that's played out in Germany and in Holland and in New Zealand and all over the place will absolutely play out in any US state where this legislation is tolerated. So you've got to fight it with everything you've got.
We've got to make noise and keep raising our voices, Rachel. Finish us off with, how can the public help you?
Well, the way that the public can help me is by cheering me up, by doing their bit to stop this legislation where they see it promoted anywhere and everywhere. And it's promoted all over the place. You know, the thing that keeps me going, has kept me going all these years, was being involved in the changing of legislation in multiple regions of the earth, including my own. It's illegal now to buy a woman for the purposes of prostitution in the Republic of Ireland and in Northern Ireland, because we had to deal with that by two separate processes. And working with legislators at whatever level you possibly can, whether it's, like you said earlier, as simple as making a call or sending an email. You know, we all have our part to play, and playing your part would be the way to help me.
Great final words. Well, Rachel, I want you definitely to come back. We have to keep talking about this. We have to keep sharing information. We have to remind everybody resources are always needed. They are sorely lacking. I want everybody, please follow Rachel and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation at endsexualexploitation.org, and certainly on Twitter at NCOSE, also at Rachel R. Moran. The book is Paid For, My Journey Through Prostitution, available wherever books are sold. I am urging all of you to read this book. It is simply the best to give you a thorough understanding of what is happening with prostitution. I am so honored, Rachel, that you joined us today and shared your story. Thank you so much. Please keep speaking up and out. Nicozy is so lucky to have you, and we will speak again soon. You have a home here with Lynn's Warriors. Thank you, Rachel Moran. You're a true warrior.
Thanks a million, Lynn. You're so sweet. You keep doing what you do, too. It's appreciated.
Thank you, Rachel, and you too. We are warriors, and we're going to keep at this and make a difference, because remember, everybody, I always say community creates change. You just heard from Rachel Moran. She has lived this life. She has written her story. She is sharing. She wants to help women, girls, all people. We always have to remember there are boys and men involved in this sex trafficking, human trafficking. We've got labor trafficking. Again, we've got the forced servitude, forced begging, which I'm seeing now here in New York with people on the highways jumping out, selling fruit, water bottles. I dare say they are trafficked. We have to remember, we have more slavery right now in the United States than any other time in history. I could talk about this 24/7, 365. I want you to know what's going on. Rachel pointed it out to us. Everything she has seen, the proof is in the pudding, as we like to say. It doesn't work, decriminalizing the sex trade. She pointed out about what's going on in Germany. It's coming here. It's already here. And where are all the feminists? Where are all the women? Sure, there's a group of us. There's a lot of us fighting this. But the media is complicit with all of this trafficking. And the government is certainly, I'm sorry, in my opinion, complicit, because they could shut more things down. For instance, they could work a lot better on our borders and shutting down with all of these people coming over. The 85,000 kids we were told unaccompanied, that was a few months ago. We don't even know. Whatever they tell you, whatever number, we know it's always higher. That's what they report. Where are these children? A lot of them, I dare say, are in the sex trade. We've got that and labor trafficking, because people like cheap labor. And also, we're having reports of women at these migrant centers being picked up in buses in Brooklyn and Queens. This is New York City. This is the United States of America, being picked up in the dead of night, 2-3 in the morning, and being shipped over now to these destination spots of Corona, Queens, and Red Hook, Brooklyn, and East New York. And they're thrown out on the streets, these vulnerable women scared for their lives and told, okay, now you're going to do this. This is incredible. So we have a complicit government not shutting this down. Law enforcement hands are tied. So what are we going to do? You're going to start in your home, in your community. We have to face facts. You're always going to talk to your kids age appropriately about what's going on, about family digital partnerships, about being safe online. Only have friends and family on the platforms. Talk to your kids. It's not us versus them. Together, we have to have these partnerships now. You see the dire, dire consequences of the free-for-all that's been going on. A reminder that on any given day, we also have 2,300 kids missing in the United States. We don't know where they are. Do the math. It's a lot of kids. Where are all the kids? So we have legislation, House.gov, Senate.gov. You have to be part of this, because the bottom line is, while we chip away in Washington and we keep reminding them, this is not right. You have to do your part at home. You have to keep your kids and your family safe. Think culture shift. I can't tell you that enough. Please sign up always. LynnsWarriors.org is the website. Go. E-newsletter coming out weekly, everybody. Have to keep abreast of every single thing happening. There are so many stories coming out on a daily basis, so many resources, so many take actions, because there is help, but you have to know where to get it. You heard Rachel Moran. I was so honored she came on with us today. She is a force to be reckoned with. Kids are being sexually normalized in society today here in the United States, and everybody's getting habituated to this. We cannot have this. Do you want your child growing up saying, I want to be a prostitute? I don't think so. I don't think any child wants that. I'm angry and you should be too. So remember, it's up to us. Communication with each other and our kids. Thanks for listening today. Write to us, tntradio.live. We're here for you. Thank you always to Alex, the great Alex, our engineer on the board, for keeping all running smoothly. Ruckus, our producer, our entire TNT family, for giving us this platform each and every week to share critical and crucial information. Until we meet again, this is Lynn's Warriors. Remember, today and every day, it's 2023. We can no longer sit on the sidelines. Get angry, everybody. It's time to take action. Engage, educate, empower yourselves and your kids. Community creates change. Say it today and every day. Be a warrior.